Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 31st of August, 2015. The podcast in a box in a box. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again this week is Travis Retriever. Travis, welcome back to the podcast.
Good to be back.
Let's disassemble the news of the bogus. And we all know about the tragic shooting in Roanoke, Virginia, which is only about 2 hours away from me. Yeah, every time I think it'll be a nice, short, little podcast this week.
Something like this happens.
Yeah. Of course, our hearts go out to the family and friends of the victims, but there's a lot of things about the news coverage of this tragedy that has triggered our very own Dave, the Trigger Man Turcotte, so here's what he has to say.
For those of you who haven't been living under a rock, you do know about what happened this week with Allison Parker and Adam Ward, a field reporter and cameraman, respectively, who were shot and killed while doing a story. And this, of course, is a very tragic shooting. Not to imply that other shootings aren't tragic, but this particularly was tragic because thousands of people saw this on live television. And, yeah, very disturbing. But, unfortunately, the tragedy itself isn't enough. There's always bullshit or surrounding shootings, and we're going to talk about some of these things. First, I want to talk about some of the media coverage that I've personally witnessed from what I've seen. There's a lot of bullshit already surrounding this. I'll just get into that right away. We have ABC. Generally, when you think of, like, the shittier news stations, a lot of people think of, like, Fox, MSNBC, rightfully so. But I've always said that ABC is just as bad as they are. They're just a little more subtle about how bad they are. They also received a manifesto from the killer. This is important because the fact that they received this manifesto means they have a responsibility to share the information since they were the ones that got it. And yet, despite this, they felt inclined to leave out certain details. First off, they never actually shared the full manifesto, at least not at the time that I've seen it. This happened to be Good Morning America. They had this story, and they left out particular details. They did say he was mad about the shooting in Charleston, and that was what kind of convinced him to buy a gun, and it convinced him to do what he did. But they didn't put in all the details explaining his actions. His actions were racially motivated. He even says, "Why did I do it? I put down a deposit for a gun on 6/19/15. The church shooting in Charleston happened on 6/17/15. What sent me over the top was the church shooting, and my hollow point bullets have the victim's initials on them." He then wrote, "As for Dylan Roof, the man responsible for the shooting in Charleston, you deleted. You want a race war? Deleted. Bring it then, you white deleted." That's right. This man was responding to the call of a race war. And yet, for some reason, news feels inclined to leave this out of the televised broadcast. They had no problem putting it on the website version, but the televised broadcast apparently felt that wasn't good information to give out. Now, why is this important? Why is this particular detail something to cling to? Why does it matter if he was racially motivated? Because the fact is, there is a big, big, big case of hypocrisy going on here. Now, I'm white. For some people, that means my opinion on this subject doesn't matter. Too fucking bad, you're hearing it anyway. Every time a shooting happens to a black youth, not saying it's deserved, but every time it happens, there's always somebody saying this is an act of racism. Even if racism isn't involved, even if the person who was shot wasn't even innocent, people say this was an act of racism. Black Lives Matter. All of this shit. And yet here we have a black man who was racially motivated to kill white people. And we don't see this on the news at all. And it's not just ABC. My local news, WTNH, News 8, they talked about this too. Of course, everybody's going to be talking about this. They felt inclined to leave that out. Of course, they didn't leave out that he felt discriminated against as a gay black man. And of course, now some people are thinking, well, he was discriminated against. He must have been a victim. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you seriously trying to leave out important details as to his motive, but you want to make sure the detail about how he felt discriminated against, like he's some kind of fucking victim? Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit. What you're basically telling me is, who cares if he was a racist? White privilege happened, and therefore, it doesn't matter, I guess. Now, in the manifesto, they also left out another detail. He wasn't just discriminated against by white people. He was discriminated against by black people. Because he is a gay black man. That's what he claimed happened, that he was bullied by black men and white women. And this is the important detail that they want in, that he felt discriminated against for being a gay black man. Imagine if this situation were reversed. Imagine if it was a disgruntled former white employee who shot a black field reporter and a black cameraman. How would you expect people to react? We'd see rallies all over the place. There'd be rioting. I bet you Virginia would be rioting. Now, for this, fuck it, it don't matter. Now, news reporting isn't the only bit of idiocy going on with this. Of course, you have the gun control nuts, not even 2 hours after the shooting. Bodies aren't even cold yet. They're already out in full force, trying to bring in the legislation and all this shit. It's not going to work, but they're trying to anyway. Here's what kills me. The father of the reporter who was killed, he says he wants to prevent psychopaths from being able to obtain guns. And I need to bring up Charleston again. In Charleston, the FBI actually fucked up the background check for the killer. He wasn't supposed to get a gun either, but he managed to anyway because of government incompetence. And you want these same people to continue to legislate further who can and can't have guns? Are you fucking kidding me? Now, I could make the argument that, you know, his daughter was just killed. He's not in the right frame of mind for critical thinking. He's dealing with so much grief. A part of me wants to let him slide for that. But then you have the other people outside of the initial victim's family that are also talking about this too and trying to get the legislation involved. And those people can fuck off because you're just pushing an agenda, you pieces of shit. And speaking of pushing agendas, this has nothing to do with the shooting, but apparently somebody talked about how this shooting was related to social justice warriors, and because of that, people need to look up hashtags like conservative and Gamergate. Are you fucking kidding me? What the fuck does Gamergate have to do with this shooting? Not a goddamn thing, and I called that shit out immediately. And thankfully, a lot of people tended to agree with me on that one. Don't use the fucking tag to promote Gamergate based on tragedy that is completely unrelated to Gamergate. That's bullshit. And apparently, on the other side of Gamergate, apparently some people are actually using that to bash Gamergate as well, and that's equally fucking dumb. Because Gamergate has absolutely nothing to do with that. Gamergate is about ethics in journalism. And yes, there is an argument about social justice warriors and their infiltration of the gaming media in regards to how they handle the press. While the fight against social justice warriors is not mutually exclusive from Gamergate, the fact is, this has fucking nothing to do with Gamergate. So Gamergate people who want to bring this in, anti-Gamergate people who want to bring this in and use this as a way to promote or bash Gamergate, fuck off. Get the fuck out of here. The whole thing is fucking dumb, and I just wish that whenever a tragedy would happen, one, news reporters report all the information. Two, people who have an agenda at least wait a day. Listen, don't get me wrong. If you're politically motivated, if you feel that this is a serious issue, I may disagree with you, but I get how you feel. You know, if you believe that this is the cause of this, I understand wanting to do something. But fucking wait. Wait at least a day. Don't use the same day as the victims to push an agenda. For fuck's sakes. Have some respect for the dead. Now, some jackoff is probably going to be like, well, that's my First Amendment right. Yes, it is. No one said it wasn't. But just because you have a First Amendment right doesn't mean I have to agree with it, and it doesn't mean I have to think that you spewing your nonsense is somehow going to prevent me from calling you an asshole. Because it doesn't. And it never will. So yeah, you have the First Amendment right. All that means is I can't shoot you. Not that I would. It also means I can't get the government to shut you up. Not that they would necessarily apply that same courtesy to me, but it is what it is. So anyway, final thoughts. The whole thing is absolutely tragic, and I really just wish people would stop taking tragedy as an opportunity to promote something or to bash something or to leave out certain details that are important. But for fuck's sakes, enough is enough.
And going with what he said about opportunists using this to push an agenda, I'm linking to a piece in the Chicago Tribune where this gun control nutbar Rex W. Hupke is basically gloating. He's talking about this idea that it's better to have armed citizens around in case something like this happens, and he calls it, quote, generic tough guy blather, a one-line advertising slogan from a man whose job is to get people to buy more guns. Yeah, because that's the only reason anyone would ever disagree with him.
What always kills me is the fact that, guys, last I checked, murdering, killings, and all this other fun stuff they're going on about is already illegal.
Yeah. But one more crime, Travis. One more crime. One more law. That's all we need.
Oh, God. Reminds me of that bit from Harry Potter when it was like, no, insanity is thinking that, well, we have over 20,000 gun laws on the books. Oh, but if we just have one more, that'll be the one that stops all the shootings and stuff.
Yep. Quote, but that video of two innocent people swiftly killed and another injured made me examine the sentence more closely and recognize for what it is. Pure selfishness.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so wanting fewer people to be shot and wanting fewer victims for all these shootings is selfishness. He says, quote, it's very convenient if you love guns. You, the gun lover, can feel safe and secure with a pistol at your hip. But what about the rest of us? What if we don't want to walk around armed at all times? Well, then don't! Who's making ya?
Yeah, because, as we all know, gun lovers apparently want to make it the law so that everyone has to own a gun, right? Oh, wait, no, we don't.
No.
That's more projection on their part.
But, I mean, the thing about it is, not everyone has to own a gun in order for this to be a deterrent effect. All that has to happen is the would-be criminals don't know who has a gun and who doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
That's what protects you.
Whereas if it's in a place like the UK or wherever, where everyone's legally disarmed, they'll try to say, oh, but see, there's hardly any gun crime there. Yeah, so they just use knives instead. And I've been told that, yes, they're actually trying to go and ban knives as well.
Yep, knives that are like more than 4 inches, I think, or something like that.
Oh, so will chefs require special permits from the state to be able to use cleavers and stuff?
I guess. Yeah, and the thing about it is, I kind of agree with his assessment of it, because this whole thing was over in like less than 4 seconds. If an armed person had been there, there probably wouldn't have been anything he could have done about it anyway, except just kill the guy when it was over, as opposed to him killing himself. But, I mean, he's kind of doing a Nirvana fallacy here, because in this one case, an armed citizen wouldn't have been able to stop it, therefore there is absolutely no validity to it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm linking to something we covered before, which is auditing shooting rampage statistics by Davey Barker, his analysis of it. We've covered it before, so I won't go over it, but the link's there if you want to review it in depth. But basically what he found is the average number of people killed in mass shootings when stopped by police is 14.29. The average number of people killed in a mass shooting when stopped by a civilian is 2.33.
Well, without the police, who would protect us from insane gunmen? Oh, wait.
Yeah, but I mean, the point is, there is a definite advantage there, and yet, we might not really expect it to stop the shootings when there's just one or two or maybe three victims. I mean, if it happens that quickly, they just can't react. What it can do is stop the shootings with two or three victims from becoming 10 or 15 victims.
Adding to that, it always helps to remember the unseen, as Bastiat would say. How many of these shootings would happen if, say, gun-free zones weren't a thing? I mean, how many of these shooters go out of their way to make sure that they're going to a gun-free zone?
Quote, so we're left with this. Accept the violence so gun enthusiasts can feel safe and protected with guns on their hips. In order to abide someone's gun hobby or their inner dirty, hairy envy or whatever it is, we must live in a world where guns abound. That's selfish, and it's ridiculous, and it's the heart of the NRA's self-serving slogan.
Okay, two things. One, why do the police and military get a free pass from these people?
Because they're the good guys.
Of course. Jesus, yes, take Holtus for you. And two, and yet, according to that one analysis of a graph that you presented, I can't remember the link, I don't have that with me, sorry, but the gun controls themselves make minimal difference. Now, the sadists could say, oh, but, you know, that's okay because it's not like they're doing harm, but remember, the burden of proof is on the side one you use force, which is the sadist side. A tie is not good enough.
Yeah, I think you're talking about the one where you put the states by their Brady ranking on their x-axis and by their homicide rate on the y-axis and do the scatter plot. Yeah, there is a very, very, very slight downward trend there, which means you actually have, all other things being equal, more killings to a slight amount when you have gun control. But it's not that much. It's, you know, I'm comfortable calling it a tie, but they have to show a definite improvement in order to start restricting people's rights to own guns, and they can't. And so here he goes again, quote, "They don't think the government should be telling people what to do with their guns. Well, guess what? I don't think gun advocates should be telling people, good guy Americans, that they need guns and holsters to feel safe." Again, not saying that. Now, the thing is, this was posted within a few hours of the killing. I think it was less than 2 hours after the killing when you had people like Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama.
Oh my God.
Showing them for the evil fucks they are. We just heard Dave say, come on, at least wait a day to do it. But you know what? I kind of don't. I want them to come up right while the bodies are still warm, you know, before they've even hit the ground and start doing this, so we'll know what evil fucks they are.
Indeed.
And so we can keep pointing it out.
Yeah, it's like me and Dave said. You know, one of these days, you're going to have to make some kind of award, make a scumbag or whatever, for the especially evil ones.
I was close to doing it this week. I was close to doing it.
Yeah. And it makes me think, so, I mean, wait, it was posted within 2 hours? Oh my God!
Yeah.
And how long did it take them to write this? I mean, did they just immediately see it on the news and just start hammering away at their keyboards?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, as soon as the news broke, he had to have started writing this.
Good Lord! I've seen political bloggers with more constraint, guys. Seriously, this isn't journalism. This is just paid blogging. And people say we're the shills. Like, I mean, how many people have told you that, oh, who are you being paid by? The Koch brothers, the Big Pharma, and I'm sure that list goes on and on. Oh my God. Monsanto
and all those, yeah.
Yeah.
Either that, or he had it written already and was just waiting for the next shooting to happen so he could post it.
Oh, God.
Say, if you're tired of the promos in this podcast, well, the patrons got it early and with no ads or promos. Just go to patreon.bogosity.tv and donate at any level. Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers. Backup sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.bogosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.bogosity.tv and get LastPass now. So we've covered news stories about the European Union forcing Google to remove links to news stories they don't like. Well, guess what? Now they're ordering Google to remove links to news stories about Google removing links to news stories. You know, if I were a Star Trek android, smoke would be coming out of my ears right about now.
It's like Inception, only in a bad way.
Yeah, I mean, how many levels of recursion does this apply to? Because we've got a story here on Ars Technica about this. Is that going to be taken down because you have to take down the stories about Google taking down stories about Google taking down stories?
But please, smug Europeans, tell us more about how you have, oh, well, we're so much better than you, we have more freedom, etc. Give me a break.
Yeah, so the UK's Information Commissioner's Office has issued a press release on the order. Quote, it argued these links were to articles that concerned one of its decisions to delist a search result, and that the articles were an essential part of a recent news story relating to a matter of significant public importance. And they say that they recognize, quote, that journalistic content relating to decisions to delist search results may be newsworthy and in the public interest, but, quote, an unwarranted and negative impact on the individual's privacy and is a breach of the Data Protection Act means that the links have to be removed anyway.
So, literally ordering search engines what they can and can't post. You also get struck that this seems a bit Orwellian. I mean, this seems like something, a more subtle version of what China does.
Yeah, and Google could face financial sanctions in a magistrate's court, and the fine is unlimited. They could just make up a really huge number and make him pay that fine.
How do people come up with these numbers? What, did they just pull them out of their ass?
I guess.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Well, this has already happened at least once, according to TechDirt. When they wrote an article about them asking Google to forget these articles, they posted an article about that, and then they got a notification from Google that, quote, due to a request under data protection law in Europe, we are no longer able to show one or more pages from your site in our search results in response to some search queries for names or other personal identifiers. Only results from European versions of Google are affected. No action is required from you. These pages have not been blocked entirely from our search results and will continue to appear for queries other than those specified by individuals in the European data protection law requests we have honored. Unfortunately, due to individual privacy concerns, we are not able to disclose which queries have been affected. Please note that in many cases, the affected queries do not relate to the name of any person mentioned prominently in the page. For example, in some cases, the name may appear only in a comment section.
Then why don't they just do something to edit out the comments? I don't get why they have to throw out the entire page along with it. That makes no sense.
Because Google isn't allowed to tell them who did it, and that would give away who did it.
Jesus.
Yeah. So really, all you have to do, if you want to get a news article taken down, is post a comment on it and then go and complain about your right to be forgotten and make Google delist the page.
Yeah. What did I say about this being Orwellian? And also, the right to be forgotten. I'm sorry, but that is completely bogus.
But you know what? Russia is still continuing her proud tradition of not wanting to be outdone in the censorship department. This week, Russia briefly blocked all of Wikipedia because of one reference to hashish.
The
And they had recently done this before with Reddit as well. Reddit had a thread on growing hallucinogenic mushrooms, and they banned all of Reddit until Reddit deleted that thread.
Oh my god.
So now they've done it again with Wikipedia. Wikipedia refused, and they got around it by changing the URL of the entry. Quote, Wikipedia refused to comply with the request and instead made a small change to the URL of the Charas Hashish article, technically putting it in compliance with Russian law. The old page now features a list of 7 different Wikipedia entries on the various meanings of the word Charas, while the original text about Charas Hashish is completely intact, but is now accessible at a new URL on the encyclopedia's website. So basically they made it into a disambiguation page and then moved it from somewhere, so Russia wasn't satisfied and said, nope, they're going to reban all of Wikipedia, and there's one way they can avoid it. Quote, they didn't intend to block the whole website and would be able to only block the offending content and pages provided Wikipedia's management cooperated and removed the HTTPS encryption protocol that puts the whole website in danger of being blocked.
What?
In other words, they have to turn off encryption on their entire website.
They do realize that that would also put the rest of them, if not the rest of us, in danger when we go there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I have, like, that HTTPS everywhere extension on both Firefox and Chrome. In fact, I do it so that I'm less likely to be vulnerable to phishing attacks and the like as well.
Yeah, but that only works when there is an HTTPS equivalent of the website.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is just a pretense to try and get rid of encryption because when you connect via TLS, they can see that you went to Wikipedia, but they can't get any of the content of the page or even see which URL you went to. And so they couldn't block you from going to this particular URL. You know, if they wanted to censor this one Wikipedia page, they couldn't do it as long as you're doing it over TLS.
Yeah, more reason, as far as I'm concerned, to have extensions like that and to have encryption like that.
Yeah, and journalist Andrei Soldatov actually pointed out that the system Russia uses for internet surveillance doesn't work if you're going over TLS. And so the idea is you keep threatening to ban the site over single pages. Just to avoid all that, they end up turning off HTTPS entirely. So all of this is to try and stop encryption and expand their surveillance, of course, under the pretense of protecting the children from information about drugs.
Or porn, or whatever.
But apparently killing journalists and violent homophobia, those things are okay.
Oh, God.
If you're on the Wi-Fi in a coffee shop or hotel, anyone on that network can get your traffic. Do you really trust all of those strangers? For that matter, do you really trust your ISP? A VPN can protect you from prying eyes, disguise your location, and even foil government censors. It's essential in this day and age, so go to vpn.pagosity.tv and you'll be taken to BoxPN. Starting at just $2.99 a month, you can get unlimited high-speed connections to VPN servers all over the world, and they don't log connections, so your privacy is assured. Traveling abroad, just VPN home, and don't worry about what those other governments are doing. Back at home, stop your ISP from traffic shaping and messing with the quality internet access you're paying good money for. You can connect from multiple machines at once, including your smartphone or tablet, and it supports all the secure standards, including OpenVPN and SSTP. Bypass sensors and surveillance with your own secure VPN connection. Go to vpn.pagosity.tv. And now a bit of good news. The U.S. government has apparently relented in their quest to search laptops at international airports without warrant. At least that seems to be the case in the case against Jae Shik Kim, who is a businessman from South Korea. In 2012, he was in LAX trying to board a plane to South Korea. He was stopped by federal agents and they seized his laptop and copied his hard drive because he was suspected of engaging in illegal activity years earlier. And they indicted him based on the evidence they found on the laptop. Well, now the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia determined that if they're going to do a non-routine search of electronics, which includes copying a hard drive so that they can just go through it later and see what they see, they must have a reasonable suspicion that the owner is presently engaged or will imminently engage in illegal activity. An ongoing investigation of suspected past criminal activity is not enough. And they said using a border search as a pretense for that absolutely circumvents the Fourth Amendment.
Whoa, they actually settled with the Fourth Amendment for once, at least a little bit.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Well, it's been a mixed bag, but yeah, there have been several courts that have been supporting the Fourth Amendment. So, of course, the government had the opportunity to appeal, but they decided not to. Not only did they drop their appeal on the suppression issue, they moved to dismiss the indictment entirely and dismiss all charges against the defendant.
Nice.
Yeah, that seems at least to be an acknowledgement that, okay, yeah, you're right, we can't do this. So, if so, it's a big win.
And hopefully may it also end up at some point involved the complete dismantling of the TSA. Oh, I can dream, damn it, can't I? Yeah. Well, the only thing I cannot but wonder is, what exactly about him did they make, did it scream suspicious criminal or whatever? I mean, considering
well,
the...
Well, they had been investigating him already, and they were just using this as a pretense to grab his laptop and see what they could find.
Yeah, I mean, I just bring this up because I've seen a list of things that are apparently red flags for being a terrorist for them, and it's really common and sensible stuff like complaining about being groped and stuff and whatnot. And I'm like, really?
Oh, yeah, we went over those a few weeks ago.
Oh, my God, it's like, yeah... Seriously, haven't any of these people, woos or fearmongers, have they never heard of the boy who cried wolf?
Yeah.
At some point, when you keep crying wolf like that, and people stop listening to you because you lied, it's your fault for you lying. Not for the people not believing you. I mean, it's really that simple, people.
Now you can make Amazon purchases with Bitcoin by going to purse.bogosity.tv. That's P-U-R-S-E. Moreover, most purchases can be made at a discount. Save an average of 20% just by buying from Purse, or get even greater discounts by linking your Amazon wish list. Go to purse.bogosity.tv. Bogosity.tv is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide a means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to Amazon.com. Just clear your cookies and go to Amazon.bogosity.tv, or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited-time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to Amazon.bogosity.tv. And now it's time to shave the cat hair off this week's biggest bogon emitter. And this week, it goes to Twitter. Seems the EU isn't the only one wanting a right to be forgotten. Politicians are wanting the right to have the internet forget about stupid tweets they made. They've already shut down PolyTwoops, which captured screenshots of tweets by politicians that were later deleted. Twitter claimed this was about respecting privacy, but remember, these are public tweets. There is no expectation of privacy.
Mm-hmm.
So now they've shut down a bunch of other similar services as well, and the reason is just absolutely nonsensical. Quote, imagine how nerve-wracking, terrifying even, tweeting would be if it was immutable and irrevocable. No one user is more deserving of that ability than another. Indeed, deleting a tweet is an expression of the user's voice.
Hey Twitter, you want us to really believe you're for that? Then here's a tip. Make it so that we can edit our tweets. Seriously.
There's an idea.
Yeah. That way, instead of when I make a tweet with a typo, instead of having to delete it, instead I can just click an edit button, change one word or letter,
yeah,
and then just have it be like that. I mean, come on.
Yeah. But, I mean, don't you tweet already knowing that it's pretty much immutable and irrevocable? I mean, it's out there. Everyone can see it. There's not really any taking it back after that.
No kidding. I mean, yeah, you can delete the shit, or you can at least try, and yeah, it might be gone if you're a total nobody like me, but if you're someone, like, well-known, like a fucking politician, sweetheart, it's here for good.
But, I mean, it's interesting that they say no one user is more deserving than another, and yet they seem to be only doing this for politicians.
Freedom for me, but not for they.
Yeah. Now, I do agree that deleting a tweet is an expression of the user's voice, but so is saving the tweet or making it a screenshot and passing it on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's quoting someone.
I mean, I could understand if we were talking about if the Twitter account you're following is a protected or locked one where they have to first approve you.
Or if it's a PM, they send you a private message and you pass it on. That I can see. Because there you have a reasonable expectation of privacy.
Yeah, I mean, in those kinds of cases, I could most definitely understand where they're coming from. But if it's on a public thing, for all to see regardless, and you just pass it along, I mean, come on.
And of course, they're doing this at a time where they want to be seen as a champion of free speech and enabling free speech all over the world.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. I never understood why politicians even need Twitter accounts. I mean, why? So they can appear more like the rest of us or some such nonsense? I mean, what?
It's so they can be hip and with it, and so they hire staff to do things that the rest of us just do for ourselves. You don't think that's the actual politician tweeting that, do you?
No. I mean, well, yeah.
Some staffer.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that makes sense. Just because, I mean, let's be honest, these are the same people who think that the internet is a series of tubes or some such stupidity, or don't know the difference between software and, what was that, an API or whatever it was?
Yeah, they don't know the difference between software and an API.
So, I'm pretty sure that these people most likely wouldn't even know how to log in and use Twitter. I mean, let's be honest here.
So that means that Twitter rises to the top as this week's biggest bogon emitter.
Hi, I'm Dave. You may recognize me from previous Bogosity episodes. However, I'm not here to talk about that. I'm also part of a podcast, the Superplex Brothers Podcast. Head on over to superplexbros.com. You can check out the podcast for video games and pro wrestling. We also have news, reviews, and editorials and all kinds of stuff just to talk about video games and pro wrestling and everything else that comes in between. So if you're into that, why don't you come check us out?
And now it's time to deport this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
And this week it goes to Richard Esko of the Huffington Post for his idiotic screed against open borders. Yes, it's the immigration debate again.
And the sad thing is, I always remember most of the left being pro-immigrants, but seems like with welfare getting bigger and bigger, they're turning against it. Funny how that works.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, it might be a good idea for this one to include a link to your How to Argue Against Immigration video or journal, because, yeah, I'm sure that one knocks it out of the park for this one, no doubt.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of stuff I covered that debunks the stuff in here. But it's actually more of a hit piece against Daniel Beer, who's one of the minds behind the Skeptical Libertarian on Facebook.
Oh, geez.
And he published an article in Newsweek called Bernie Sanders on Immigrants, Silly, Tribal, and Economically Literate. And so Esko is just going against him for that. He says, quote, "Like many libertarian ideas, open borders is bold, has superficial intellectual appeal, and is incapable of withstanding thoughtful scrutiny." And we'll see what his idea of thoughtful scrutiny is as we go through it.
Oh, jeez.
"It would benefit the wealthy few at the expense of the many here and abroad."
I'm surprised he didn't just cut out the middlemen and say it would exploit the poor.
Oh, I think he's getting to that somewhere down here.
Oh, God.
Quote, "The open borders concept is a simple one. Allow workers to travel freely from country to country in search of employment. Proponents argue that this would improve the lives of people in poor countries because they could earn more by moving to nations like the United States."
Okay, two things. One, it would improve our lives here, as you presented research in said journal and video demonstrating. I mean, yeah, no, everyone is improved by this. Also, double bogon points if he's one of those nimrods who says to libertarians, "Well, if you don't like it, you can leave." Herder.
Yeah. Quote, "They also claim it would magically," God love throwing the word magically in there to poison the well, "do very little harm to workers in nations like this one, even though proponents also frequently suggest eliminating the minimum wage at the same time."
The horror.
But, I mean, as I showed, when you have immigrants coming into work, it's not only the immigrants working the jobs, the immigrants working those jobs create jobs from others, just as Say's Law predicts.
Yeah, Say's Law is a thing, folks.
And it's also the case that it increases the wages, even for native-born workers.
Hell, as you even showed, it even increases educational achievement, of all things, especially for blacks.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's slightly more than whites. I mean, hey, guys, I thought you wanted more minorities and the like to be more achieving in that stuff. I mean, isn't this what you want?
No, they don't. They want to keep him down so they can use him as political fodder.
Yeah, sounds about right. I think it was Penn and Teller who said that the left is the party of hate and the right is the party of fear. Yeah, that gets an argument for me.
He says, quote, "Beer claims that it is patently untrue that an open borders policy would make everybody in America poorer, and cites a study from the Koch brothers-funded Cato Institute as evidence."
Argumentum ad Koch brother.
"Unfortunately, that study is based on a far lower rate of immigration than an open borders policy would produce, rendering his interpretation of it meaningless." He doesn't say why. He doesn't say what it is about a higher rate of immigration that would magically make things turn out differently. But I would point out that I posted several sources, not from the Cato Institute, not from anything Koch-funded, but from the National Bureau of Economic Research.
Yeah, so here's some other work for him to ignore. A statement against interest.
Yeah. He says, quote, "The work of economist Sajun Chang, by contrast, provides compelling evidence that an open borders policy would exert a powerful downward pull on American workers' wages."
No, it wouldn't.
He cites precisely nothing. He just points to this guy and says, that research is out there somewhere.
Oh, God. Yeah, I hate when people pull this. Like, this one dude whose name I'm not going to name, who whenever I brought up the stuff about wages improving more under a free market, or, you know, UIHC not being needed for that sort, for healthcare for the poor, he's like, oh, well, oh, it's just history that you're wrong, and just just completely dismisses me, doesn't bring up any sources, oh, fuck you, it's, you know, it's just history. You're just wrong. Does that sound like a creationist to you? Like, how they'll just say, oh, you know, it's just common sense or whatever, that your evolution is bullshit. I mean, yeah. Gotta love these woo tactics. The parallels really are amazing between all of them, you know?
So he says, quote, Beer fails to consider a fundamental principle of economics. When the supply of labor increases, wages go down. Oh, so now he's acknowledging the supply and demand applies to the labor market as well, unlike earlier when he was talking about minimum wage.
Yeah. Also, once again, he also forgets Say's law. That supply of labor also represents demand for other things. Housing, food,
right.
Presumably maybe even electronics and stuff. That will either keep wages the same or, as the research you presented shows, actually drive wages up.
Well, of course it will, because it drives up demand for those other products. And this is part of the misinformation the Keynesians keep putting about Say's Law. They stylize Say's Law as supply creates its own demand, and then they say, oh, okay, well, that means if you magically supply something, there'll magically be demand, and that's obviously not the case. So Say's Law can't be right. That's not what Say's Law says.
Yeah. To give you an idea of my own college's bias, that's what Say's Law was presented as when I learned first heard of it in college. Just to give you an idea. This actually is the stuff that people are taught there.
But the way it works is, if you're a plumber, you make money fixing other people's sinks. What are you going to put that money to? Are you going to put that money into fixing your sink? No, you're going to put that money into buying food, buying clothes, paying rent or mortgage or whatever.
That is the supply of your labor.
Uh-huh.
And your skills fixing sinks or whatever represents your demand for food and electricity, housing, and so on.
Right, so the fact that you're working as a plumber, creating the supply for that service, means you're also generating a demand for other sectors of the economy to have a greater supply and expand and create new jobs and things like that. That's the essence of Say's Law.
Yeah, it seems to be a pretty tight, close race between the law of supply and demand and Say's Law, as the two economic laws that have probably gotten the most vile and virtual from economic illiterates. Well, granted, with Say's Law, it's a lot less open and more, let's just ignore it and blow it off. But with supply and demand, it's more, bad, bad, no, that no apply, herder.
So anyway, he says, quote, this argument is tribal because advocates like Beer apparently don't understand that other nations, despite their relative poverty, have virtues of their own. Well, he never said they didn't. But isn't it up to the individual to decide whether they like the virtues of their nation or the virtues of the United States better? That's their own subjective opinion.
Wait, first off, how the fuck is letting people the freedom to move and to live between nations and not restricting that because potato fucking tribal? If anything, he's the one tribal for wanting to restrict that stuff. Seriously, what the hell?
Oh, well, I mean, he keeps going with this, quote.
Oh, man.
That should be a source of deep embarrassment for them. It should not be necessary to endure the pain of displacement merely to earn a livable wage. To claim otherwise, as open borders advocates implicitly do, is to reflect the xenophobic belief that everybody would be happier here than anywhere else.
An argument that would only apply if we were forcibly removing people from other nations and putting them here.
Right. So once again, they're interpreting us saying they should have the freedom to do something with us saying we want to force them to do it. I mean, can their brains not work any other way? Are they that psychopathic that is the only way they can imagine to interact with other human beings?
It's why I have zero qualms about defriending people who are this stupid, be it on Facebook or in real life. The way I see it, if they're this crazy, then if anything, I'm doing myself a favor for my own personal safety if they're this psychopathic, you know?
Well, guess what? He uses one of our old favorites, Argumentum ad Servetus, the appeal to slavery.
Oh my god.
Yep. Open borders is like slavery. And guess who he uses for support?
Oh, this should be good.
The Southern Poverty Law Center.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, they say the guest worker programs in the United States are, quote, close to slavery. And the reason why is, quote, these workers are systematically exploited and abused.
Oh, hello. We knew he was going to use that word sooner or later.
Yeah. Well, actually, this is him quoting the SPLC, but still. Yeah.
Well, close enough.
Yeah. It, quote, harms the interest of U.S. workers as well by undercutting wages and working conditions for those who labor at the lowest rungs of the economic ladder.
No, as you've demonstrated, it actually improves them. Also, another comment that I had to make, both on the video and the journal that you posted on this. Okay, so let's say if someone's wages really do decrease as a result of unskilled workers, or whatever, like it did in that one South Park episode. Maybe you've just gotten a data point as to how overpaid you were, especially if you were had your wages propped up by idiotic bullshit like government unions or government-aided unions or some such bollocks. I mean, come on.
So he mentions two cases where this apparently happened. One was student guest worker visas forced to work 25-hour shifts, but the source for that is salon.com, so pardon me if I'm just not going to take the word for that.
Oh, Jesus.
The other is that they were forced to endure 16 to 24-hour workdays and 80-hour work weeks, and threatened if they stopped, and that's from New York Times.
Wait, aren't these the same people who say, oh, the educational system is awesome, we need to give more money into education, yet it produces bullshit like this? Even if it is true.
Well, let's say it is. Okay, first of all, these are legal immigrants. You have two isolated incidents, and if you look at the details, the reason they were able to do this is because they threatened to take away their immigration papers if they didn't, which means they would be illegal and they would be deported. But if they didn't have that threat of deportation, if we had actual open borders, they wouldn't have been able to do that in the first place.
I'm sorry, but we need to make this into a fucking fallacy at some point and give it a good name. Where a status bitches about something that happened as a result of their bullshit status policies and blames the free market or free market policies.
Well, it's like, we're going to engage in prohibition. Now, here's something bad that's happened with prohibition. That means that we can't legalize it, because if we legalize it, that bad thing would start happening.
I know. I mean, it's just... Breathe.
Yeah, they're not the result of an open borders policy. They're the result of immigration restrictions.
No kidding. I mean, it's like, it's enough to say, okay, problem. What exactly did having these massive restrictions prevent then?
I don't know. But listen to this bit, quote, his policy prescription would leave a sovereign people unable to set its own minimum wage or determine its own employment policies. How does open borders affect either of those? We'll still have OSHA. We'll still have the minimum wages. It's just, I don't know. And check out this part. We hear this one a lot of time from progressives as well. Quote, open borders is a recipe for the further commodification of human beings. It treats people as economic inputs to be moved around the globe at the whim of political capital.
What?
Yeah.
So people ask me why I'm not a liberal or something, because I don't believe anyone poorer than me is fucking inferior to me.
Yeah.
That's why.
Well, and I mean, who is the one saying who is and isn't allowed to cross lines? And who should or shouldn't be allowed to move from one place to another?
Pro tip! It's the people wanting to restrict the immigration and the like in the first place.
Yeah, we're just saying let them come here if that's what they want to do.
These are the same people whose idea of a quote-unquote ban is to simply not have GovCo funded.
He also says, we need a systemic solution. Hey, the word is systematic. A problem can be systemic, but the solution for it has to be systematic. A solution cannot be systemic. We need a systematic solution to global wealth inequality rather than intellectual gimmicks designed to promote exploitation and sow confusion.
Projection so hard, we can read it from space.
Yeah, I mean, what is he doing this whole time except exploiting immigrants to push his own agenda?
No kidding.
And I've already shown how wealth inequality decreases the freer the markets are. I've shown in the video how to argue for immigration restrictions that if you allow immigrants to come into your country, the more immigrants who come in there and work, you actually increase wealth for the poorest people.
So much for the left being the anti-bigoted ones, but I think we already learned that.
Oh, that sailed a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
So all of that makes Richard Esko this week's
Idiot extraordinaire!
Well, that wraps up this, you know, I'm starting to suspect this might be padding edition of the Bogosity Podcast. As always, you can come to forum.bogosity.tv to read the show notes and join the discussion. This podcast depends on you to keep going, so please donate using the links on the website or at patreon.bogosity.tv. And feel free to join in by sending a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. You can even stick it in an audio file if you want. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to Travis Retriever for joining me.
Yeah, it was fun, and I hope I didn't drag this out too long.
Until next time, here's a quote from George Santayana. Injustice in this world is not something comparative. The wrong is deep, clear, and absolute in each private fate. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 imported license.
Bogosity.
Do you want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again.
It kind of reminds me of a bit I had in a history class I took in college. We were talking about the potato famine and the like. What happened is, something that they only casually mentioned, but the English were more or less colonizing them or whatnot, basically taking the vast majority of their crops and food to begin with. You don't think that might have had something to do with it, guys? But, of course, that was never brought up, because potato. I mean, oh, that was horrible. That was unintended, I swear to God.
Yeah, right. I always say that myself.
Jesus.
You ever notice that whenever someone said no pun intended, the pun was usually intended?
Well, that one time it wasn't, honest. But, yeah.